This is CME on ReachMD. The following activity, titled Distilling Modern Medical Approaches in Advanced NSCLC, Precision, Performance, and Parallels with Patients, is provided by Access Medical Education and supported by an educational grant from Lilly. Prior to beginning, please be sure to review the faculty information and disclosure statements, as well as the learning objectives. Here's your host, Dr. Robert Macharnik.
Hello and welcome to this educational activity, Distilling Modern Medical Approaches in Advanced Non-Small Cell Lung Cancer, Precision, Performance, and Parallels with Patients. I am Dr. Robert Macharnik, Emeritus Professor of Clinical Medicine, and I am joined today by Dr. Joshua Baumel, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Through case studies, we will discuss and evaluate available treatment options and guideline recommendations for patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer without targetable activating mutations after progression on initial platinum-based therapy. We will also consider available data on treatment strategies for non-small cell lung cancer that progresses rapidly on frontline therapy. Here is a disclaimer and disclosure indicating that we may be discussing off-label uses of approved agents or agents that are currently in development. Here is our financial disclosure information. So let's begin with the case presentation, Dr. Baumel. Can you tell us about this first patient?
So our first case is a 53-year-old woman who presented with cough and shortness of breath. She has a 65-pack-year smoking history and no other medical comorbidities. We do imaging, and a CAT scan reveals a right-sided pleural effusion, mediastinal lymphadenopathy, and a 4-centimeter right middle lobe mass. A PET scan confirms these findings, also reveals a solitary liver metastasis, and an MRI of her brain is negative for metastases. Bronchoscopic biopsy reveals an adenocarcinoma of the lung. Now, when we have a new diagnosis of adenocarcinoma of the lung, we need to make sure we get a comprehensive assessment of the relevant biomarkers. So in this case, we find out that this patient has 30% tumor staining for PD-L1 using the 22C3 assay, and that a comprehensive next-generation sequencing assay evaluating both mutations and translocations does not reveal a targetable alteration.
Thank you. Let's go through some of the treatment options appropriate for this patient.
So there have been an onslaught of new trials in metastatic non-small cell lung cancer, and we now have multiple options that we can consider. So KEYNOTE-24 looked at patients who had PD-L1 expression of over 50%. So that doesn't directly apply here. KEYNOTE-42 compared pembrolizumab to platinum doublet chemotherapy amongst patients who had PD-L1 greater than 1%. They showed an improvement in outcomes with pembrolizumab. But most of that benefit was driven by patients who had greater than 50% staining. Indeed, for patients who had staining of 1 to 49%, there was no benefit for pembrolizumab. And so what many of us would use in this circumstance is based upon KEYNOTE 189 and KEYNOTE 21G, which looked at adenocarcinoma of the lung and randomized patients to either carboplatin pemetrexed or carboplatin pemetrexed pembrolizumab. In this study, what they found was that regardless of PD-L1 expression, the addition of pembrolizumab was associated with an improvement in overall survival. Another regimen which is approved in this setting is the so-called EMPOWER 150 regimen, which combines carboplatin, paclitaxel, bevacizumab, and atezolizumab in this setting, regardless of PD-L1 staining. But given the taxane component here, myself and many of my colleagues tend to prefer the KEYNOTE 189 regimen, and that led to its status as the preferred Category 1 recommendation in the NCCN guidelines. So just taking a look at KEYNOTE 189 in greater detail, you can see some key points that need to be emphasized. First, patients were required to not have an EGFR mutation or an ALK translocation. Such patients were excluded. Patients needed to have non-squamous histology, and they were randomized to platinum pemetrexed with or without the pembrolizumab, and that was administered every 3 weeks. So taking a look at the overall survival data, here you can see very nicely that in the intention to treat analysis, there was an early and wide separation between the triplet regimen and the placebo-containing arm, and that the benefit is seen regardless of PD-L1 status. So this becomes a rather straightforward first-line option for patients with non-squamous metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. So back to this patient. So she begins treatment with carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab, and after two cycles, she presents to the clinic with worsening abdominal pain. Imaging reveals progression in her liver, now new bilateral adrenal metastases, and she is told you that, you know, she hears sometimes immunotherapy can make cancer bigger before it gets smaller. So should we just ride it out, doc? So this is this concept of pseudo-progression that she's calling to, but there's another more concerning concept, which is this item of hyperprogression, which is that some patients who are treated with immunotherapy, their cancer can actually speed up its growth. It's unclear why this happens, whether it's directly related to the immunotherapy, but it has been repeatedly seen in multiple trials. There was a recent retrospective analysis which was done by a group in Europe, and what they were able to show was that up to 13.8% of patients on immunotherapy have hyperprogression, and this was measured as growth that occurred at a faster rate than would be expected from their prior progression. Interestingly, they also saw some hyperprogression in patients who were receiving cytotoxic chemotherapy, which implies there may be more to this story than just immunotherapy. At this point, we don't have good biomarkers to predict who is actually going to have this, but the key point to remember is that hyperprogression happens, unfortunately, more frequently than pseudoprogression. So if you have a patient who is progressing on immunotherapy, it's really best to regard that as progression and change your treatment accordingly.
What are the treatment options for this patient who progressed on combination carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab?
You know, when we give chemoimmunotherapy, we give lots of our treatments, and we sometimes use up multiple options that have been approved in the second line. And so it's important to remember that it is not currently recommended to just switch to another PD-1 or PD-L1 inhibitor. We have never seen in a study that switching to another agent can improve outcomes in this setting. But there are other drugs that could be considered and are approved: docetaxel, pemetrexed, gemcitabine, or ramucirumab with docetaxel. Now, of course, in this patient, she just received pemetrexed, so giving her pemetrexed doesn't make a lot of sense either. The REVEL study tried to see if we could improve outcomes for patients receiving docetaxel with the addition of ramucirumab, which is a VEGFR2 monoclonal antibody. And VEGFR obviously blocks the development of new blood vessels. So the combination of ramucirumab with docetaxel was relatively well tolerated, with not a substantial increase in the rate of grade greater than 3 adverse events, 79% in the combination arm versus 71% in the placebo arm. When we look at the overall survival, we see that there is a statistically significant, if clinically modest, improvement in overall survival with the addition of ramucirumab.
I understand there are data indicating that patients with rapidly progressing disease have benefited from treatment with ramucirumab plus docetaxel. Could you tell us a little bit about this and discuss whether this combination would be appropriate for the patient that we've been discussing?
Trying to identify those patients most likely to benefit is really critical in this setting. And so one of the groups that was looked at in the REVEL study is patients who had either chemo-refractory or otherwise aggressive disease. This is common, and just like this case that we've discussed here, they present with symptomatic or painful disease that's growing rapidly, and we need a treatment that will yield a rapid improvement in their outcomes. And so one definition of this is that if you have a short time between starting your first line and needing to go to second line, that may suggest a more aggressive phenotype. And so What they did was they did an exploratory subgroup analysis of patients who had refractory disease to first-line chemotherapy. And there what you can see was that the benefit in overall survival was more pronounced, 8.3 versus 6.3 months, with a much higher overall response rate for the combination of 22.5% versus 12.6%. And so taking a look at the subgroups of non-squamous, adeno, squamous, all histologies, if you identify patients who are refractory to their first-line treatment and progress quickly, you can see that the incremental benefit of the addition of ramucirumab is more pronounced than in the general patient population. And so in conclusion, I think it's important to remember for this case that this patient's disease progressed very rapidly after two cycles. When I give chemoimmunotherapy, I don't even usually look with a scan until after three, and depending upon the patient's situation. And so we're seeing rapid progression. And in that setting, it is possible that the addition of ramucirumab may be associated with a particularly pronounced benefit.
Interesting data. Well, that concludes our discussion today. Dr. Baumol, would you review key takeaways from today's discussion for the audience?
But chemoimmunotherapy or immunotherapy still remains the standard of care for the first-line management of non-small cell lung cancer without a molecular target. There may be a detrimental association of immunotherapy with hyperprogression for patients who experience that. And so it's really important to monitor our patients on immunotherapy closely and for our scientists to continue working in a translational fashion to help identify who those patients are who may experience hyperprogression and who those patients are who are most likely to benefit from immunotherapy. For those patients who are progressing, the addition of ramucirumab was associated with an improvement over docetaxel alone in the second-line management, and this benefit may be amplified amongst patients with rapid progression. It is important to remember, though, that all of these data were seen prior to immunotherapy. We don't know how the REVEL outcomes would play out in the setting of prior immunotherapy, though I think that's an important area for future research.
Thank you, Dr. Baumol, and thank you for your participation in this activity.
This activity was provided by Axis Medical Education. To receive your free CME credit, please be sure to complete the post-test and evaluation by visiting reachmd.com/axismeded.